You're listening to a podcast from Jubilee Church, Farnham. To find out more, visit www.jubilee.church.
So I was reading my daily devotional this morning. I was just, you know, brought back and reminded of the power that Scripture brings to us. It says in Romans 11, verse 33, "Oh, the depth of the riches of wisdom and knowledge of God." As we start out this morning, will you just close your eyes for a minute? I just want to encourage you. What is it that you want to ask God for this morning? What are the riches that you're asking for Him to reveal to you this morning? Just take a moment and then I'll open in prayer and we'll begin the word. Lord, we ask you come and meet us in our day, in our week, in our families, in our homes, in our friendships, in our work, in the things on our minds this morning. Lord, we ask you come and reveal your truth, your wisdom, your knowledge through your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, whilst I was growing up, I was pretty ignorant to my parents' faith. As Christians, I go to church when I had to, but I didn't really know who God was or what Jesus had done until that was when my sister got baptized. She was in her 20s and I was sat at the front of a church and I thought, hang on a minute, what's she doing? And what are all these people like clapping as they're singing and like raising their hands? Like, what are they doing? What is this? It woke me up. It made me suddenly realize that, who is this Jesus guy? What is it my parents believe? What is it that they've been pressing into that I don't understand? You know, and it got me really asking, well, you know, who is this Jesus? He's either mad, because some of these things seem pretty out there for me. It's either sad that he went and was telling those things. I feel like, you know, if those weren't true, or maybe he really did do the things that I read about in Scripture. And that's kind of a classic entry point for Alpha, isn't it? You've got all these questions and you sign up to Alpha and then someone helps you learn about your faith. Except I wasn't humble enough to go on Alpha. I needed to find the answers for myself. I didn't want anybody else telling me what to believe, which way to go. I needed to go at my own pace. So I started attending church and I'd sit at the back row. Well, that's not quite true, actually. For about the first month, I'd meet them down the pub afterwards because I knew where they went, and I thought, well, I just get to know them from a distance and see what they're like. And then I started to go to church, and I thought, wow, there's something about this group of people that I'm meeting. There's something different. Why are they so encouraging? Why are they so loving? Why are they so interested in me? They don't even know me. I listened to sermons. I started to read the Alpha book, and I'd read a bit of the Bible. And I started to make me question, what if this is actually true? What if the Creator, the Father, actually knew me better than anybody else? What if he actually had a plan for me? What if he actually had a plan that was a part of his story for the world? You know, I reached a point where I started to believe God. You know, Then I kind of got to this point where I stalled. I kind of stopped because I suddenly realized, what's that going to mean for my life? What's that going to mean for my priorities, my plans, my hopes? I thought I was losing control. Anybody else like to feel in control? You know, it's part of the human condition, isn't it? We want to be in control. We'll come back to that later. You know, this is the point where I started to pray. And that's what we're looking at this season, isn't it? About prayer. And I'd say, God, are you who the Bible says you are? Did you really die that I might have life? I'd say that I started to believe as I was saying these things, as praying. I'd also regularly pray something like, oh, Lord, would you reveal to me, would you show me who you are? Maybe, would you write it in the sky? Would you give me a verse that stands right out to me and declares it? Would you give someone a word of knowledge to give to me? Maybe a prophecy? Lord, I want to know. I wanted to experience what it was like to know God, not just to believe in him. And that's what relationships are about, isn't it? We want to get to know one another. If you'd asked me how I knew my wife, Leslie, well, I wouldn't say, well, I believe that she's a loving person. I wouldn't say, well, I've heard that she thinks of others a lot before herself. I wouldn't say, I've heard that those at the Refresh Cafe tell me that the cakes that she makes are really good. No. I tell you that we started a long-distance relationship. Before the time of social media and mobile phones, we used to write letters. Yeah. We used to write letters. Haven't done one for a little while. We used to use the landline. Yeah. That was until the flatmate said, hey, get off the landline, Neil. We've got to do the internet. We've got to dial up. And when we did meet in person, like, we would just talk for hours. Like, just so much to catch up on, sharing life, laughing. And then when it was time to say goodbye, oh, it was awful. I didn't want to go back to the regular work week. We just wanted to spend more time together. You know, I know Leslie because for 25 years, she's loved me through all circumstances. She's loved me when I've been my least lovable. She's been the peace in the storms of life. Now, when I first started praying to God, I believe that I was learning about God, but I say I didn't really know who he was. That didn't happen until I took a personal step of faith. Until then, I'd say I'd reasoned my understanding of God. I'd kind of approached it like a GCSE, okay? I'd listened to some teaching, I'd done plenty of reading, and I'd done a little bit of coursework in the form of prayer. But rather than sitting an exam, I think I was the one setting the exam. God, show me all of who you are, and then I'll believe in you. Then I'll trust in you. Then I'll give my life to you. And then one Sunday, I was at the Coin Church over in Woking. We used to have a Sunday evening service. And we had this preacher coming in the next week from India, and there was lots of energy about the outreach. They're like, right, break up into groups at the end of the service and we're going to pray for this evangelist coming. I thought, I can't do that. I don't think I can do it. Where's my heart? I don't think I can go and pray for that. And it was like a light bulb moment for me at that moment. While everyone else was praying in the group and I was standing in a circle pretending to join in, I was actually there thinking, what if I trust in God for what I didn't know as well as what I did? Instead of praying, Lord, I believe you died for me, I said, Lord, thank you for dying for me. I want to trust, I want to believe in the things that you've revealed to me and in the things that I don't understand, that you haven't shown me. And that moment, it was like I came into sync with God. Like I was in tune with the Holy Spirit. All that was in my head was suddenly reaching my heart. It was that undeniable knowing in that moment that I experienced as I put my faith in God. You know, I can't put into words how much that moment changed for me, my sense of pursuing God and pursuing my faith in him. A complete shift, a sense of joy, a sense of peace, a sense of purpose. A deep sense of knowing that God is what's, a deep sense of knowing is what's referred to in Hebrew as yada. Anyone remember that word? Can we say it together? Because I've come to like that word this week. You ready? So it's yada. Ready? One, two, three. Yada. And today we're going to continue our mini series on prayer, and we're going to look at how we can talk with God. So are you ready to yada this morning? That's probably the wrong grammatical way to use it. But so I've got 4 points that we're going to go through this morning, pressing into this idea of knowing God and how we do that through prayer. And I've got a bit of a nautical theme, so we're going to go through sort of 4 points. So are you ready to get on board? Any other themes we'll try to get along as we go through. So the term yada is actually the root word for knowledge. And, you know, it might just be me, because I'm quite analytical, but I think the word knowledge has got a bit distorted in my head. You know, because when I think knowledge, I think library, Wikipedia, you know, like encyclopedias. It's about, well, okay, where do I go? It's like trying to take control of knowledge, isn't it? We try to harness it. We try to manage it. See, the downside of that is that we lose the importance of the experiential side of knowledge. So I have a question for you. Maybe we could have a show of hands this morning. How many people here would say, as you started out your journey of faith, it began with a knowing, there's got to be something else. There's got to be something more. Is this it? Like, how many people was there like, was that an element of your faith journey? Like, there's got to be something more. You know, I think when we experienced that sort of knowing, we didn't go to the library to look that up, did we? There's something deep inside us that says, no, we know there's something more. There's something yearning that's not being filled. Maybe today that's you. Maybe you're still in your journey of faith. I pray this morning as we press in that God may reveal his truth to you. So let's get going. We're going to walk through 4 different kind of pictures to help us really with this theme, the nautical theme. And the first one I want you to think about is an anchor. So before we start doubling down on us knowing God and talking with him, I want us to stop. The entire point to start with has nothing to do with our response. The first point is the anchor. It's the one that holds us firm and secure to the hope before us. Let's read the first scripture. John 1:17. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. As we enter prayer, we do it through the grace and truth of Jesus, don't we? Jesus also has the closest relationship with the Father. He's made him known. He makes him known. But it gets better than that. It's not just that Jesus has opened the way. In Romans 8, it's probably a scripture that's, or a chapter that's impacted me more than any chapter of the Bible. Maybe I'm sure we've all got scriptures that are really just, you keep going back to it and it keeps feeding you. And Romans 8's like that for me. And as I was reading this one this week, we'll come to that one in a minute. Getting ahead. Romans 8, verse 34 to 35 says, Christ Jesus who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of the Father and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? You know, before we pray, before we put our requests to God, before we tell him our pains, he's interceding for you. The Son of God is at the right hand of the Father. He's interceding for you. This is the very mission that Jesus came to earth to fulfill. The line of communication was lost with God, broken by the fall, and Jesus restored it. In the scripture that we read together earlier, I'll read it once more together, Hebrews 7, 23 to 25. Now there have been many of those priests since the death prevented them from continuing in office. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save them completely, those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. You know, when I first became a Christian and I was beginning to pray, I used to get in a muddle. I'd be like, so who am I supposed to pray to? Am I praying to God? Am I praying to Jesus? And then there's this Holy Spirit. What's this all about? I think here is a hint for us, isn't it? We come to God through Jesus, through the work of his blood on the cross. But that's not the full story. Some more good news from Romans in chapter 8, verses 24 to 27. I'm going to read the first bit, which isn't up on the slide. So it says, "For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is not hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans, and he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God." Wow. As we enter faith, the year of faith this year, do you have hope for what you have not yet seen? Then the great news is, before you talk to God, before you bring it to him, even in our weakness of faith and hope, the Spirit is interceding for you. How does that make you feel? The Son's made the way, interceding for you with the Father, even as we go about our daily prayer, even when we don't know what to pray. You know, it acts as a counterformation to the world around us, brings us into line with God's will. The last scripture I'm going to read to you is from Psalm 139. I'm sure many of you all know it well. "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways." You know, before we even come and talk to God, before we come into his presence, he wants to remind us that we're known by him. Our Creator knows us. Maybe like me, sometimes you feel when you're coming into prayer that you're out of sync with God. Take heart. Have hope that the Trinity's at work. The Father knows you. The Son is interceding for you. That we're not separated from God. And the Spirit is interceding that he will bring us in line with God's will. Isn't that amazing? One anchor that we can hold firm to as we come into his presence, into prayer. As we enter prayer, it isn't an autonomous action of a sort of human nature. Right? It's something we do in response to what God is doing around us. The conversation, it's already started. So let's continue on our nautical theme. And now that you've pulled up your anchor, maybe you could pull up your anchor for me. You could check your compass. Just look again, I'm going to read a little bit from the bottom of Psalm 139. We said earlier at the first part that you have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You are familiar with my ways. You know, those are the words of David, aren't they? Often described as a man after God's own heart. But we also know him as a murderer, as a liar, as a manipulator, an adulterer. Yet here he is, refusing to hide from God, thankful that he can't. As you talk with God, as I talk with God, he knows it all, doesn't he? We might choose to hide when we've done wrong, like Adam or Eve, but we could take a leaf out of David's book. Look what he says on this slide at the end of Psalm 139. "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." David knew the grace of God, And he asked God to search him. And David certainly called out his sins, didn't he? We see them written across the Psalms. As the Russian writer Alexandra Solonensky once said, the line separating good and evil passes right through every human heart. Let us not hide from God today. Rather, let's call out our sins and receive the grace and mercy that he gives. So you've pulled up your anchor. You've checked your compass. Now, time to grab hold of the tiller. I want to ask you, if you had to summarize what the scriptures say about prayer and what our response should be, how would you say it in one word? What would your one word be to summarize prayer? Any guesses?
Conversation,
yeah.
Connection.
Relational, yeah. What's one word that you also hear a lot in the New Testament? Especially ask. 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 You know, just as a sailor uses its tiller to direct the boat in a specific direction, our prayers can also be specific requests. You know, last week I was so blessed by Toby's word. Are you encouraged as he pressed in and started us out on this theme of prayer? As he read the Lord's Prayer, I was really struck by something really obvious. You know, when I've read this so many times. Why did I not see that before? Why did I not spot that? Such a familiar prayer. And what struck me was the directness of Jesus in his prayer when he says, give us today our daily bread. It really got me thinking, when did I last say something like that? When did I last ask God, give us? If I'm honest, I get more excited about the your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, Lord. Like those big prayers, the ones that someone says and people say, amen. Right? They encourage you, I lift our faith. And the big prayers are great. But aren't we missing something? If we come to God in the everyday, if we don't come to the God with our everyday requests, you know, we have it on authority in the Lord's Prayer. His example to us, we should be specific. Today, what's your daily bread? What's your prayer that you need today? When we pray for the small things, it challenges us. It shapes us. It causes us to verbalize who God is and our dependency on him. Tyler Staton, in his book, Praying Like Monks, Living Like Fools, words it brilliantly. He says, give us is the kind of praying that tugs at the cross, shaking loose the rewards of Jesus' victory shared freely with us. Give us is not just a phrase for little children. It's a weapon for warriors against the enemy of the soul. Our requests are not the spoiled whining of a child or the shaking cup of a beggar. Daily bread prayers are counterformation. A reminder that we are not in charge, not in control. Prayer replaces control with trust. As we come to talk with God, don't hold back on pointing your prayers to the big things. But let's not miss the opportunity to pray for the daily needs. I know I've neglected this. And when we pray, that's spiritual formation. All right, last one. You pulled up your anchor. You checked your compass. You checked your tiller. It's time to check the sails. In the book of Luke, just after the Lord's Prayer that Toby read to us last week, there's a short story. It says, then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on the journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. Do you have that temptation sometimes when you're praying that you've got to formulate it the right way? Oh, I've got to get the right structure. I've got to say the right words. I've got to put in Jesus' name in the right place. This scripture is a great reminder. It's not so much about the words. After all, we didn't get access to the Father through our doing, did we? The encouragement is to be audacious, persistent to the point you might even think it was unreasonable. And why does God encourage, actively encourage, that we might be almost what we think of like inconsiderate? Why? Inconvenient. Maybe it's because he's created us in his image, designed to be in relationship with God. He desires to be in relationship with us. Maybe because his son's interceding for us, and because the Spirit is there in our weakness to bring us back in line with God's will. As we come to pray, the Trinity is there to pray with us. It's there to be in a relationship with us. We're going to have a time to respond. I'm going to ask if the band can come up before we break bread together. Many of these scriptures this morning, bring us back to remind us of what Jesus has done. Jesus is the one that has restored our connection with the Father. And as we read in the scripture this morning, our word, he does it completely. So we come in the good of that as we're going to break bread this morning. And I want to give you three things to think about as we come. Firstly, the compass. God knows everything we brought in the door this morning. But he also wants us to call out to him. So if there's something that this has prompted, I just want to encourage you as we enter into worship, just to offer it up. I want you to think through your give us. What's your daily prayer today? Put aside for a minute the big picture. What is it that you're asking God for this morning? As we come into worship together, I want you to bring that to him. Ask him for your daily prayer this morning. We've also got the church dinner this evening. And I'm expecting as we press into the year of faith, as we ask God what he has for us, that he'll reveal his plans, his purposes. And so maybe there's something that you feel stirred to pray about as we press into worship this morning. As you seek, what is it God's stirring faith for you? Where do you need to trust in him for something you have hope for but haven't yet seen? All right. Let's just take a moment. If you'd like to stand before we join into worship, I'm going to pray. Lord, we thank you that you're a loving Father. Lord, you created us in your image. You desire to be in relationship with us, Lord. You're drawing us near to you, Lord. So as we press into worship, Lord, we want to take a step forward in our soul. To meet you, Lord. We want to know your presence with us this morning. Lord, as we come and prepare to take bread and wine, Lord, we thank Jesus for providing a way, for restoring a relationship completely. Lord, thank you that as we come, you know us. We are known by you. Lord, as we come and break bread, Lord, we want to acknowledge the things that we do wrong and acknowledge the one who is perfect and provided the way. Thank you, Lord, that when you wrote that Lord's Prayer, when you said it out, your first words were, "Our Father, our Father." Lord, you knew the intimacy that meant, and you call us into that we could call God our Father. So as we come into worship this morning, Lord, we acknowledge your goodness, your desire to be in relationship with us. We ask, come and do a work in our hearts this morning.